listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a real blessing to you today. We are opening our service with Brother Brad Crooks singing for us, What You Gonna Tell Him?
The preacher told about his love, about his saving grace, of how he came from heaven, at Calvary took my place. He said he gave his life, died there in my stead. And as I turned to walk away, this is what the preacher said. What you gonna tell him when you see him face to face? Will you say he refused his love, he didn't take your place? What you gonna say, my friend, when he looks your way? What you gonna tell him on Judgment Day? I left the church that evening, not knowing what to do. The preacher's voice was in my ears. I knew each word was true. I knew someday I'd meet him, and that his face I'd see. The words of the preacher man kept coming back to me. What you gonna tell him when you see him face to face? Will you say he refused his love, he didn't take your place? What you gonna say, my friend, when he looks your way? What you gonna tell him? We never know the day nor hour when he shall come again. And if by chance we're called away before time shall end, before that great and final day, decide, friend, what you'll do. The words of the preacher man I now ask of you. What you gonna tell him when you see him face to face? Will you say he refused his love, he didn't take your place? What you gonna say, my friend, when he looks your way? What you gonna tell him on Judgment Day?
A very serious question, for we're all going to face him in the judgment, and we're going to have to give an account of the life that we have lived in this time world. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless our congregation today. We're thankful for everyone who is with us through the broadcast, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will be able to use us and to use the program to be a blessing to precious eternity-bound souls. And if there be those who are not prepared to meet Thee in our congregation today, we pray the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts. The goodness of God might lead them to repentance. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, the Great Supper, and our text of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were invited or bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant said, Come, and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The setting for this parable, Jesus had been invited to the house of the chief priest, or one of the chief Pharisees, to eat a meal on the Sabbath day. A certain man, who was also invited, said to Jesus, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He probably thought the kingdom of God was something out in the future, a literal kingdom, and Jesus was going to inform him that that was not the case. Jesus gave this parable to show the supper was a present reality and that people were invited to come now to eat in the kingdom of God. A certain man, and we understand that this certain man represented Jesus Christ himself. Now, the 16th verse tells us that many were invited. And when the time came to eat, those who had been invited ahead of time, which was an Eastern custom, were now sent word to come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I needs go to see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now look at that. Here this man supposedly had bought the ground first, and then he was going to go see it. That wasn't really a very businesslike thing to do. It was, in fact, just an excuse. And the second man said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. Again, you think this man bought those 5 yoke of oxen without trying them? And remember also, he was invited to a supper. So was he going to go look at those oxen at night time and try them out at night? No. All we have here is an excuse. Again, the third person said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Well, why not bring the wife along? Maybe she would have enjoyed the meal. Another excuse. Now, let me ask you, who are in my congregation today, if you are unsaved, if you're not a Christian, what is your excuse? I don't mean to offend by asking that question, but I would have you to think and consider. These men were making excuses why they could not come, and they were just excuses. There were not really reasons. So what is your excuse if you are not a Christian today? Notice Jesus said in this parable, all things are now ready. A great difference between Christianity and other religions, especially those in the Asiatic countries. But it's not just in the Asiatic countries where they don't know of Christ or they don't believe in Christ. We have people in this country, in the religious world, who do not really believe the truth of the gospel, and they do not believe that Christ is the only way of being saved and of making heaven their home. So there's a great difference between true Christianity and other religions. Non-Christian religions teach a person must do a lot of good works and sacrifices. That reminds me of a story I heard years ago. A missionary went to India, and he met with an elderly man there that he endeavored to win to Christ. But this man was one of those who believed that he had to do works to be able to find favor with his God. And he was going to crawl on his hands and knees from one of the big cities of India to the other, possibly from New Delhi to Bombay. And he did not feel like, at his age, that he would be able to make the trip. He would die before he completed it. And he had a diamond that his son had gotten in his work of diving down to get by. And he wanted to give this diamond to this missionary before he left. But the missionary refused to accept it as a gift. He wanted to pay him for it. And he insisted on paying him for it. But the old gentleman said, "Well, you don't understand. My son lost his life when he went down to hunt for this and got this pearl. He stayed down there so long, he injured his lungs, and even though he was able to get back up with the shell and the diamond was in it, he died. So this cost my son's life. I would not sell it at any price, but I want to give it to you." And after the missionary refused, and he endeavored then to get across the point that he had been trying to get to the old gentleman all along, and that was that salvation cost God his only begotten son. It cost so much that he could not sell it. We could not buy it. We could not earn it with good works. We must accept it as a free gift. I don't remember just how the story ended, but I would like to think that the old gentleman saw the point and accepted Christ as his Savior. So God's salvation cost his only begotten Son. And Jesus said, "All things are now ready." Yes, our salvation has been paid for, and all we need to do is to come to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart and truly and sincerely repent of our sins. We do not have to do good works. In fact, we cannot do good works and earn salvation. After you become a Christian, you need to do good works, but your salvation depends upon Jesus Christ and his shed blood, not on your good works. One must realize his helplessness and cry unto God for his mercy. It is not by works, by accepting God's plan through Jesus Christ. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Christianity, in a parable, is compared to a great feast. And Christianity is a real feast to the soul and affords joy and peace and deliverance from sin. And if you will come, you can dine and dine freely. Of course, one must forsake sin to be a partaker of this supper that Jesus referred to in this parable. Why is it called a great supper? Because it is the only religious provided by God, the great God of heaven, whereby we can be saved. There is salvation in no other. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 14, verse 6. Peter said, "There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved." It is also a great supper because all are invited. Yes, all are invited. The Hebrews were invited first, but when Jesus came to his own, the Bible says his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:11 and 12. when Jesus, shortly before he returned to the Father, gave the disciples the commission, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So this great supper is great because all are invited, regardless of nationality, regardless of color of skin, regardless of financial standing. All are invited. You are invited if you are not a Christian today. Of course, it was God's plan to provide this great salvation for all. And he is the only one that could. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So we read in our text today, Luke 14 and 21. And whenever the servant came back after that mission, he said, "There is still room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may have or may be filled." He was determined to have guests. And God has sent out his messengers today, his ministers, to preach the gospel to every creature and invite them to come to the great supper. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins, and he will enable you to partake of this great supper, this great salvation. The Church of God is not for just one class of people or just one nation. Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone, regardless of race or nation. All are invited to this great supper. Now, human ideas should not be made the standard of Christianity. God has determined the diet for this great supper, and we are told that we should eat it all. Yes, the Apostle John was shown a little book, and he was told to eat it all. So God is the one that provided the diet for this meal, and we are to eat it all. We're not to pick at this and refuse this and select just whatever we might want. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And James said, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And I say the ideas of men should not be made the standard of Christianity, for God has set that standard. Setting up one's own ideas as the standard for the church is one way division is caused. However, not to hold up God's standard will also cause division and compromise. "Preach the word," Paul told Timothy, "and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And such ideas of men and teachings of sectarian religion will destroy the spirituality of any congregation of saints. Therefore, we are to lift up a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. We are to lift up a standard for the people. The great attraction of this feast, this great supper, some come expecting material blessings, some come expecting to gain new friends, and some may come looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and some just to get healing, and others for other reasons. The great attraction is Jesus Christ alone. You need to come to get your soul fed. If you come for any other reason, you have come for the wrong reason. Come to Christ because he is the Savior of the world. Come to the feast, for what he has to give is salvation from sin and a holy life, and in the end, eternal life. Yes, we are going to meet him at the judgment, and we are going to give an account of the life that we have lived. So come to the feast, for he gives you salvation, he saves you from sin, and in the end, eternal life. The Lord wants us to come to him to love him, for he is his own, for his own sake, not for what he can give, but for him. Love him for him's sake. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. He desires such love. Love him with all your soul, your strength, your mind, and prove that love by obeying him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I would like to close with a very solemn thought, and it is the 24th verse of the scripture that we read today. The 24th verse says, for I say unto you that none of the men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Yes, if we refuse to come, we will not be able to partake of that supper. And if you refuse to come to Christ, where are you going, and what will be the end of your earthly sojourn? Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work on hearts, for we'd like to know that souls have come to know thee through our efforts today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing this Way of Truth broadcast with you today. Trust that it has proven to be a blessing. And if so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage, and you can also listen to past broadcasts if you've missed any or if you'd like to hear one over again. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us in our broadcast today, and we'd like to invite...
Someday my work will be over, and my labor for him will be through. Then I'll climb yonder hilltop to meet him. I don't want to miss it, do you? I wouldn't miss it for nothing. No matter what I have to go through, someday I'll lay down my burden. I don't want to miss it, do you? Sometimes I tire on and I can't seem to find him, that's true. But I know that he's waiting up yonder, and I don't want.